Okay, very good. Okay, so last week we were discussing the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And I want to go back to that just to catch up a little bit and then continue discussing that a little bit and some related issues. And then hopefully we'll be able to already move on to the next Shakla V'Tarya and Dalid Amud Aleph and move a little more quickly. So the last thing we did was the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis. I want to review this famous story again. Excuse me. So the Gemara says as follows. This is on Gimel Amud Beis. One second. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Hahu Arma'a. This is about two-thirds of the way down the page on Gimel Amud Beis. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hahu Arma'a. There was a certain non-Jew. The Havasalik, the Achab Psachim, be Yerushalayim. A very strange phenomenon. Every year he would go up, you know, and he would partake in the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Omar, and not only would he do it, which obviously was inappropriate, he was passing himself off as a Jew, very extraordinary story, but he would also boast about it. So Omar, he said, Ksiv, Kol Benecha LaYochal Bo. It says in Parshas Bo, that a Benechar, right, is excluded from the Korban Pesach. And yet, it also says, Kol Orele Yochabo, that somebody who's not circumcised is also prohibited from eating Korban Pesach. Vana ha-ka'ich ka'chilna mi-shufri shufri. He said, but nonetheless, I partake and I get the best, the choice, you know, piece of the Korban Pesach. So he was boasting about this, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was present, or he was boasting to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, hard to know. Either way, Amar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra turned to him and said, Mika safalach me'alya, did they also give you the alya, which is fat, a certain part of the fat? Now this part of the fat is what in the Korban Pesach where it you know is shayach is something which is burnt on the mizbeach. So basically, he was trying to set him up. He was trying to ensnare him, to trap him. So so he said to him, "Mikasaf alach me'alya, amalei lo." So he said, "No, they didn't." So then Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said to him, Kisalkus lahasam, next year, when you go up and you again, pass yourself off as a Jew so you can get a piece of Korban Pesach, you know, make sure that they really do give you the best. Emelu, tell them, Safali me'alya, make sure to give me the fatty bone, the creme de la creme of Korban Pesach. So Kisalik, the next Pesach, when he, went up to Eretz Yisrael, and he went up to the Beis HaMikdash and passed himself off again as a Jew. So Amar Lahu, Me'alya Safuli. So he said to the people there, I don't want to, you've been giving me Shufri Shufri, but you've been holding back on me, not giving me the Aliyah. So this year I insist on the Aliyah. Amrulay, they responded to him and said, Alya ligavoa solka. The Alya gets burnt on the Mizbeach. It goes up to the Rabbeinu Shalom, no less. So Amrulay, and then they said to him, Man Amalachachi, who told you to ask for the Alya? So Amalahu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He told him, this comes from one of your great sages, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Amr, so they said, my haide come on. Like, what's going on here? What is this? So then, bodku basrei vashkuchuhu de armahu vikotluhu. So this, of course, finally, triggered the warning bells, They investigated his lineage, found out that he was non-Jew. And then this is the extreme, a little bit of an extreme part. So they killed him for doing this. We'll get back to that in a minute. Like, did he deserve the death penalty? either way, they then sent a letter to Rabbeinu ben Becerra, Shochulei, Rabbeinu ben Becerra, and they said, Shalom lach Rabbeinu ben Becerra, greetings, Rabbeinu ben Becerra, da'at ben Tzivin, there you are, you're sitting in the Tzivin, umitzudasech, prusa, b'Yerushalayim. Yet your net, extends to Yerushalayim. Which meant on one hand that he was able to trap this fellow from afar. But the bigger idea was that, both your sense of responsibility as well as your influence, extends, well across the Jewish world. Even though you're living in one place, right, you're able to control, things that are going on elsewhere. Okay, so very beautiful, but also very fascinating Gemara. Right, there are two questions that troubled the Mefarshim, and they're both very important issues. One is, why was Rabbeinu ben Becerra hearing about this, from a distance? Sounds like he himself did not participate in the Korban Pesach, right? And it sounds like he didn't go up to Yerushalayim, in the context of Aliyah LeRegel, nor did he participate in Korban Pesach. And the question is, why would that be the case? Question number two is, on what basis did they kill this Arma'a once he was discovered? So these are two questions that are discussed. Let's talk about each one separately. So the first one we began to discuss last week. I wanted to speak a little bit more about it. That, of course, is connected to the famous discussion of Tosas Hira al-Atar. Tosas says, Me'alya kasafulach, afagav de gedi, eno yosok pereva. Even though a gedi, right, does not have an alya, which is Karev on the Mizbeach. Right, okay. So the difference between a Gedi and a Tle, both of which are appropriate for Korban Pesach, the Tle has the Aliyah. Okay, that's a technicality. Oh, Shema Higidlo, Rabbeinu ben Becerra. No, Shema Higidlo, fine. Then Tosas discusses the real question. Rabbeinu ben Becerra Shola Allah L'Regel. How is it Rabbeinu ben Becerra didn't make Aliyah L'Regel? So the Tosis gives three answers to this question. Yishlomo shalo hayo lo karka, because he didn't have karka. O zaken hayash eni yachal halech be raglov, the pasur mi pesach gemo miriya. So either he didn't have karka, right? Or he was elderly and it was difficult for him to make the trip, and therefore, like Aliyah L'Regel, he is exempt from Korban Pesach. Inami, Netzivin Chutz La'aretzi, Kenemuch B'Sefrei B'Parshas Re'ei, V'od B'Targim Yerushalmi. That Netzivin, where he lived, was in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore he was somehow exempt from this particular halacha. So what comes out of Tosas is that there are three exemptions, three factors that explain Rabbeinu ben Becerra's absence, right? Or at least one of the three. The lack of ownership of karka, the difficulty in traveling right there, and the third one is the fact that he lived in Chutz La'aretz. So we already saw last week, I don't need to go over the whole thing. I wanted to pick up from where we left off, that the Mishnah LeMelech in the beginning of Hilchos Korban Pesach strongly takes issue with Tosas. He says, number one, the main point, he says, where does how does Tosfos know that these factors, which may apply to Aliyah L'Regel, meaning we know for sure that a Zaken, Kosher Leilech, is definitely Pater Me'Aliyah L'Regel. That part is clear. The Ein Lo Karka, and especially the Chutz La'aretz part, those are a little bit less clear, even in terms of Aliyah L'Regel. But what the Mishnah Mel's bigger point was, there are psukim and drashos that teach us these exemptions in Aliyah L'Regel. But how can we just assume that the same exemptions apply to Korban Pesach? What does Korban Pesach have to do with Aliyah L'Regel? That's his main question. And he says, I'm not sure how far Tosfos takes us. Does Tosfos think that all exemptions of Aliyah L'Regel apply to Korban Pesach? Because if that's the case, then we have a problem with Nashim. Women are obligated in Korban Pesach. Women are not obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. So if you think that Aliyah L'Regel is koveya for Korban Pesach, why are women not pturos for Korban Pesach? So what are you going to say? It's only these three things? Chutz La'aretz, lack of karka, difficulty in traveling? Mehechatesi. How does Tosfos know that these three things and not other things, how does Tosfos know, number one, that Aliyah L'Regel is the same as Korban Pesach at all? And if so, why doesn't he apply it to many other halachos? Why is it limited to these three things? Therefore, the Mishnah Melech comes to the conclusion that this is simply incorrect. It's simply wrong. It's not true that the Rambam disagrees with it. He says, I don't know where Tosfos got it from, but certainly the Rambam disagrees with it. There's no connection whatsoever between Aliyah L'Regel and Korban Pesach. Okay? That is the view of the Mishnah Melech. It doesn't explain Tosfos, but it is a view. So the Tzlach here on the spot, Tzlach, of course, was the Gemara commentary of the Nota B'Yehuda. So what he says is, if you look carefully in Tosfos, it's very meduyak that Tosfos doesn't say exactly that whoever is potter from Aliyah L'Regel, those same peturim apply to Korban Pesach. That's not what Tosfos says. Look at Tosfos again. Tosfos says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira shelo Aliyah L'Regel. Tosfos doesn't ask the question, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira participate in Korban Pesach? He asked, how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't participating in Aliyah L'Regel? Says the Tzlach, really, the Pturim of Aliyah L'Regel are just Pturim for Aliyah L'Regel. They have zero impact on Korban Pesach, per se, directly. However, because they affect Aliyah L'Regel, Mimela, they also affect Korban Pesach. Why? This is the big Chiddush of the Tzlach. The Tzlach says, per se, there's no obligation to get up, to pick yourself up, and to go, to implement Korban Pesach. If at the Zman of Chiv Korban Pesach you find yourself in what's called Berichuk Makom, then you're obligated to participate in Korban Pesach. But if you're out of the sphere of Richuk Makom, if you find yourself in Richuk Makom at the proper moment or at the right moment, then there's no obligation of Korban Pesach. So what was Tosfos saying? Tosfos was bothered, how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't obligated in Aliyah L'Regel, in which case he also would have been close enough to Yerushalayim at the critical moment that he would have been Bekiruv Makom and would have been Chayiv in Korban Pesach too. So the relationship between Korban Pesach and Aliyah L'Regel is an incidental one, right? It's not an intrinsic one. That's how the Tzlach interprets. So that, of course, is a very, very big chiddush. It's a big chiddush to say that only if you happen to be, you know, within a certain geographic, you know, vicinity or sphere of influence, that you're chayv korban Pesach. Otherwise, you're not. That's actually very, very surprising. But that's the Tzlach's view. The Netziv goes even further. This is what we saw last week. Just summarizing. The Netziv in Merome Sada goes further. Because the Mishnah Melech asks the following question. Mishnah Melech says, what's this issue of Chutz Laretz? The last answer of Tosa says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tzeir lived in the Tzivin. The Tzivin was in Chutz Laretz. Since he lived in Chutz Laretz, there's no din, you know, of Aliyah L'Regel or Korban Pesach. Says the Mishnah Melech, I don't understand. The category for Korban Pesach is Richuk Makom and Kiruv Makom, not Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. So Mimonavshach, if he's in Chutz Laretz, but he can make the trip, you know, within Kiruv Makom, he should be Chayiv. And if he is outside of the boundaries of Kiruv Makom, he's in Richuk Makom, then why do we care if he's in Chutz Laretz? Even if he's in Eretz Yisrael, he's Potter Mekorban Pesach. Says the Mishnah Melech, lest what you want to say, maybe you want to say is that there are two levels of Ptur. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, but you're Berichuk Makom, maybe you're Potter Mekorban Pesach, the Pesach Rishon, but you're still Chayiv Korban Pesach from Pesach Sheni. In other words, in a month, since you weren't there, in a month you're obligated to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni. However, maybe if you're in Chutz Laretz, so that's more than Richuk Makom. Then there's not even a Chiyuv Pesach Sheni. That was a suggestion by the Mishnah Melech. That suggestion is taken up by the Netziv. So the Netziv says, let's just look here for a minute, just to, this is on page five.
Rabbi Rosenzweig?
Yeah.
Is it possible to suggest that since Misha Dor Bechutz Laretz is Misha Ein Lo Eloka,
yeah,
might be exempt from the Korban Pesach because he might have a certain status of Kol Ben Nechar?
Ooh, I'm going to get to that in a second. I think it's a great, interesting idea. I'm not going to say it exactly that way, but I'll talk about that too. I will talk about that in a couple of minutes. But I think there's a little more of a moderate way to explain it, but it's along the lines of what you're suggesting. So just give me a couple of minutes and I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. First, I just want to go through the Minchas Chinuch, but then I'll get back to that exactly, that point. So I like it very much. So the Rome Sada is, of course, the Netziv. I'm guessing it's on page. It's
page
on page five.
Five. Yep.
Okay, great. So the Netziv quotes Tosas. Tosas divrei masu mealia. Sorry. Yeshlomar shalohi alakarko zaken haya patu pesach kamor miriya upirish delo chol chiyuv pesach el amishu biyerushalayim. Interesting formulation. Right, the key of Korban Pesach is only chal on someone who is present in Yerushalayim. Interesting. V'yochal asos haPesach achachatzos, meaning kiruv mako. V'afilu Pesach sheni lo nischayim, exactly what the Mishnah Melech anticipated one might say, but he says, well, but where's the makor for it? He says, afilu Pesach sheni lo nischayim, elami shehu b'derech rechoka. Meaning, if you're B'derech Rechoka, but you're still in Eretz Yisrael, you're Chayiv Pesach Sheni. Hayinu Sheholech Yerushalayim Liros Panim. V'yagil La'achar Shkitas HaPesach. You went to Eretz Yisrael, right? And you got there too late. Avam Yishalo Yagia Klal Yerushalayim B'Pesach in a Barchiv Klal. And therefore, he's Mufka from Pesach Sheni as well. B'kivit shepata miri'iya, mimela pata mipesach. He doesn't need to be there. U'bechinam niskasha b'zeh mishnah melech reishach es korban pesach. So the mishnah melech's critique is, is gratuitous, not based on anything. Mash eikshav sham od. They held the noshim b'turos miri'iya v'chayavos b'pesach. The mishnah melech's question, which is, if you're going to say that whatever is pata miri'iya is pata b'pesach, then how can Nashim be Chayiv Pesach and Pater Miriya? Says the Mishnah, says the Nitziv, like the Tzach. No, because the correlation isn't direct, it's indirect. We're saying, if you're not Chayiv Nali El Regel, and therefore you could stay home. If you stay home, then there's no Chayiv Korban Pesach. But let's say you don't stay home. Let's say you live near Yerushalayim. Or let's say you decide you want to make Aliyah L'Rego. Or even if it isn't, she's not making Aliyah L'Rego because she's Mitzuvah. She wants to be with the rest of the family. But Nim says that she's Be Kiruv Makom. She's Chayiv Korban Pesach. That's an Itziv solution. Right? Mashiach she'od b'hod anashim b'turas miri'iyah v'chayavos v'pesach gamze eino ela b'nashim shebi'u shalayim. The women who are in Yerushalayim anyway, not because of Chiyuv Aliyah L'Regel, are Chayavos be Korban Pesach. Shepturos Milava Bazara. Okay. So basically that's the Netziv. The Minchas Chinuch, get back to your idea in just a minute, but the Minchas Chinuch, just to be clear, is emphatically opposed to this tzlach and netziv. I mean, of course, a netziv is later than the Minchas Chinuch, but the same idea. The idea that according to the tzlach and the netziv, that Korban Pesach devolves only upon those who are, in close proximity, but that per se, there's no chovas hagavra, right, to get up and go and to be there. And if you don't have a chiyuv aliyah l'regel, then the assumption is aliyah l'regel is a chovas hagavra. There are pturim. You're exempt for this reason, for that, whatever reason exemptions there are. But if you're not exempt, you're chayiv to go. But what the tzlach and the tziv are saying is, Korban Pesach, you're never chayiv to do it. Unless you're bekir of mako. Or Pesach Sheni, you're in Eretz Yisrael. So the Minchas Chinuch found this view to be completely intolerable. Just let's look at it quickly. This is on what line? Page 5.
13.
13. B'nei mevu'ar avadim chayav mepesach. He starts off by pointing out that women and avadim are obligated in Korban Pesach. After Pturim, right? There's something regalim. Okay. Mikomokom hakomodim dechayav mepesach kibur b'shas. Achshar Ptur min Ariya. But what about the other exemptions for Aliyah L'Regel? Kigon cheresh ba'azno achas o chiger. These are all exemptions for Aliyah L'Regel. The Chadoma de Pturim, right? Shechashvam Harambam Perkavos Chagiga, right? Midasasam Harambam Mashvam Pshitas Dechayavim Bepesach. Deberi Alfina Mikrai. Umayin Pesach Luriya. Basically, Ibn Chaschidach is quoting the Mishnah Melech, who says that just because you're exempt from Riya doesn't mean you're exempt from the Dinim of Korban Pesach. Ach, however, he says, Hatosis of Psachim, as we know, Gimel Amud Beis, Dibra Maso Me'aliyah, Kosvu Hodlo Holok Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, Bem Seirul Yerushalayim, Shemelo Hayelo Karka, Ozaken Haya, right? She'eni Ochal Alas Baraglav, Dipturi Pesach, Kamo Mi Re'iya, Inami Netzivim Chutzar Tzava, Mashma Bidvarav, it seems from Tosis, the call up Pturim Pesach, that there's an equation between Aliyah L'Regel, and whoever is exempt from that, and Karban Pesach. Vayin Mishon Malach Parach Alkos Karban Pesach. Tom Aldevrayim. Min Olam Zeh, how do you know that? V'gam Masha Kosov D'Netziv M'chutz Haaretz, Havalo Yodea, Heich Isa D'Chutz Haaretz, Pater M'Karban Pesach. Who told you that living in Chutz Haaretz exempts you from Karban Pesach? V'lo Matzinu Shadar B'Chutz Haaretz, Pater M'na Re'iya. So Kedaitach, Deich Tesi, Tzvichim Talmud M'tchilasam V'ad Sofa. V'atzlach, then he quotes another Rabbi Yehuda, Kasav, B'Kavanasam, The only question was why he didn't make Aliyah L'Regel. Aval al Pesach lo kasha klal, devada hu b'derek rechoka upatur. V'lo matzinu, these are the key words that the Minchas Chinuch gets from the Tzlach. V'lo matzinu shi a mitzvah lalos u l'hiskarev atzmo kodem zman ha-Pesach. There is no obligation, according to Tzlach, for you to take proactive initiative in order to be in a place where you can do the Korban Pesach, or you'll become mechuyev to do the Korban Pesach. If you are in such a place, then at that moment there's a trigger that is mechayev you to go and do the Korban Pesach, but there's no chovetz hagavra to do it, or to be in a place that triggers the chiyuv. Ubi yudal shigi esman ha-pesach. Right? Harei ubederuch rechoka. That's a tzach. Rakosh, kushas ha-tosas, ha-mechuyev, but what bothered Tosas was that even though, right, there's no chiyuv of Korban Pesach, there is a chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel. And since it's a chiyuv Aliyah L'Regel, so that should determine that you're in a place which triggers a chiyuv Korban Pesach. Lalos L'Regel. Alzeh tirtzu shelo yelo karka. Meaning there's no chiyuv Aliyah L'Regel. So that now, the ayin shab, that's the quotation of the Tzlach. Now listen to the Minchas Chinuch weigh in. Udvarav einam muvanim liklal. This is a very important argument. Whether or not there's a chovas hagavra to take the initiative to be mechuyev b'korban pesach. It's a huge argument. He says, "Udvarav einu muvanim li, klal, devadai mitzvah saseil kol Yisrael lasos a pesach, kekol mitzvah sasei sheba olam." Every mitzvah sasei, you know, you're obligated to take initiative to make sure you can do it when it falls. Umechuyev leilech mikzeh haaretz liskar vatzim kedei l'kayim mitzvah say. You're obligated to go to the ends of the earth. Not literally. I mean, to make a very strong effort in order to fulfill a mitzvah say. Let me add something that Minchas Chinuch doesn't say, but is a perspective which I think is very important here. And that is, of all mitzvah say, the one that you're, you know, if you happen to be in the makom, but otherwise you're exempt of all of the one that's mechayiv kares, together with bris milah. There are two mitzvah sheish ben kares. One is bris milah, the other is korban pesach. That's it. So the mitzvah say, one of two in the world, you know, that triggers a more harsh onesh by its neglect is the one which you don't have to make any effort or take any initiative? Shocking. Okay, let's continue. Achim avar, v'hu b'derech rechoka, yeish dinim shetziv so Torah. Of course, if you happen to be, if you violate, not the mitzvah say, but the meta halachic, obvious principle that you need to take initiative to make sure that you will accomplish your obligations. If you violate that, there's no onus for that, but clearly there's something very, very fundamentally wrong with that. If you violate that, so then in the end of the day, right, there's a patur. That's a din of derech rechok. Then he continues, right? According to the Tzlach, even when you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you live further away, right? Kol shein rechokim, tesvav mil, Yerushalayim, tesvav mil is the shear of derech rechoka, shezeh derech rechoka in shas, perek mishahaya, p'tur melech balasas ha-pesach, imken kol Yisrael p'turim, lasas pesach rishon. Then you'll have a situation where most Jews in Israel who happen to live outside of Derech Grova are going to be exempt from Pesach Rishon. So then says the Milchus Chinuch, ironically, Pesach Sheni lo yom akrivim kirov hatzibur, he knows in Pesach Sheni im kem p'turim im bitzas ha-Pesach. The rule is that there's no Pesach Sheni unless Rov Kal Yisrael are obligated in Pesach Rishon. But according to the view of the Tzlach, you're really not obligated unless you're in the vicinity. And most of Klal Yisrael isn't in the vicinity necessarily. So you won't even get Pesach Sheni. Right? Imken Klal Yisrael Pturim Lasos Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni Makim Kirov Tzibainos and Pesach Sheni. Elim imkain pturim mimitzas haPesach. V'im yishum dechayavim b'ri'ia yicholam lava b'yom tov. Right, ibetchum and rabbanon. As for aliyah l'regel, so you'll come on yontif itself. You don't have to come on yodalad. You can come on tesvav. Maybe the tchum is only drabbanon. Ayim psachim. Right. Ein mavur beferish besukah de nafkelon de oskim b'mitzvah turim and amitzvah b'tamim where da yimetamim atzon shivas yamim kodem bila mishum mitzvah asurim ligrom bitol haPesach mikomokom ein svara klal doesn't make any sense shelo yisrael hadarim bekol eretz yisrael chayav bePesach rishon bevaday mitzvah lehiskariv sheyavo achim haya b'darach rechoka well I feel amazed lo. No one's denying that there's a p'tur of Derech Rechoka. But what we're saying is that means you're not Chayiv Kares. And you're not obligated anymore. It's a p'tur. But your Chovas HaGavra certainly is not less than any other mitzvah say to make sure that you'll be Chayiv. Right? Yesh Odin Derech Rechoka. Vim lo ba Yakri B'sheni. Right. And if you don't bring the Pesach Sheni, he says, Ayin Ramba Madinim. I was like, Kosha Lishmoa, listen to the language of Minchas Chinuch, because it's not that he has proofs. His compelling logic is his proof. So that's why he says, Ayin Mistaber Klal. That's why he uses the language, I was like, Kosha Lishmoa. He said, it hurts me to hear this. It's difficult to hear. Meaning it offends my religious sensibility. Shocking. Not shocking. Inspiring, really. Now, of course, Michal Chinuch's religious sensibility is informed by a lifetime of learning and his understanding of the global system. He doesn't think that that sustains the conclusion that any mitzvah say, I'm adding, never mind a mitzvah say sheish bakares, right, is only obligatory under very technical circumstances. Kasha l'shmo shalayu mitzuvim arachokim sheyavohu latzos mitzaseh. Ba'od mevur lehedja. Okay. Harei de mechuyiv l'tahir atzmo u'latakin, I'm skipping a line, atzmo shiyo mechuyiv b'karban. He says there's a chi of the Tahir Atzmo Beregel. It certainly applies also on Pesach. Isn't that imply that you have to be ready to go bring the karbanos? The bizmana karban chal of chiyuv. Says maybe that's not a proof, because you could say you're only obligated at the time of the bringing of the karban, but still, right? Avodar chachoka konim zmana karban ein chal of chiyuv liskarim ubizmana karban arim dar chachoka. Mikomakom, again, he keeps repeating. Mitzad hasvara ein svara klal. The loya mitzvah al kol Yisrael klal bevadai mitzvah liskarid kelelasos a pesach. When you repeat something many, many times and you don't have proofs, but you just can't believe it, right? He's instinctively, crying out. Okay. Skip a line. The kodem hazman lo rami chiyuva. Then he says very powerfully, "Atu lulav v'shofar, ki lo yam b'chuyev liknos koda machag, u'b'chag einu b'nimtza, v'chienu mevatal b'zem mitzvah saseh atma." Meaning, the zmana mitzvah in lulav and shofar is on Yantif. Right? So is there an obligation to buy a lulav and to make sure you have access to a shofar before Yantif? Why not say, right now there's no obligation because the time hasn't come yet. As far as, Yantif itself, when there is an obligation, onus, right? Who's selling minim or making accessible shofros on Yontif itself. It seems painfully obvious that if the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to fulfill a mitzvah say of shofar or a mitzvah say of dalad minim, then that implies that you have to take initiative, you have to be proactive, you have to go out there and you have to buy a lulav and buy dalad minim. Now again, how much you should spend is a different story. But that's not for now. Atulul v'shofar v'chiloyim mechuyim liktos kodem machag b'chagen b'nimtza v'chena mevatal b'zem mitzvah say atma. Shocking. Odesium divratosis shaloy lo karko zaken right sheretz yisrael lalech baragv the patrei pesach kimor maria mara be'etzba the sfirle the poor pesach toli maria. He says, I also don't buy the Tzlach's whole understanding of Tosas. What did Tzlach say? Tzlach said, Tosas wasn't bothered why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra didn't partake in the Korban Pesach. He was bothered, that's obvious, because if you're not Bederech Krova, then there's no Chiyuv. What bothered Tosas was, why did the Aliyah L'Regel not force him to be in Yerushalayim? And once there, he would have been Bederech Chok, he would have been Bederech Krova, sorry. So the Minchas Chinuch says, I don't buy that pshat. It seems to me, like Tosas is saying, there's an equation between the Dinei Re'iyah and the Dinei Pesach directly. The Sfirli, the Potter, the Pesach, Toli, Beriyah, V'lo Mitad Jekos of Atzlach. Where did this idea come from about chutzlars? Oh. Then he goes on to say, Nave tries to find a riot for being naked if it's matzasi l'kamonai, with base. Okay. Good. There is another interesting shita before I get back to Michas Chinuch, and that is the shita of the she'elos yavetz. That's the she'elos hatshuvos of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, son of the Netziv. The yavetz says, in his opinion, there's a din of shloshim yom. Like it depends where you are in shloshim yom lifnei achag. till Shlosh Yom B'nei HaChag, there's no obligation to take initiative to make sure that on Yud Daled you'll be there b'makom korov, such you'll be chayv korban Pesach. But once it's Shloshim Yom lifnei Achag, and Sholem v'Darshim b'nyanei Achag, and already there are certain dinim about obligations of Bedika and Bior, some of the dinim already kick in, meaning it's a time zone in which we already think about Pesach. At that point, right, you become obligated, if possible, at that point, if it isn't impossible already, you know, to make earlier preparations to make sure that you don't have an obligation. But already at Shloshim Yom, that's an interesting sheet. Okay. So what I'd like to suggest is a couple of things. Number one, the Michas Chinuch understands Tosas, not like the Tzlach and the Netziv, but like the Mishnah Melech, which is that the exemptions, or many of the exemptions, of Aliyah L'Regel applied to Korban Pesach as well. What could that possibly be based on? I mean, the truth is, it doesn't answer all the questions. The Mishnah Melech is raising some very tough issues when he says, you know, number one, what do you do with the discrepancy of Isha? Number two, where do you draw the line? How do you know these three and not another two? I don't have an answer to that question. But what I did want to suggest was two things. Number one, if there's a connection between the exemptions of Aliyah L'Regel and Korban Pesach, maybe we can understand it in one of two ways. One is that, in a way, coming to Yerushalayim and participating in Korban Pesach, right, is also the first opportunity for Aliyah L'Regel. In other words, I don't know whether this is connected to this idea or not. I'm suggesting it or I'm speculating about it. But I do think that the general point I'm about to make is anyways true and therefore food for thought and maybe helpful for other things. And that is, in Parshas Emor, Chag HaMatzos, beginning with Korban Pesach, as we've discussed, is the first of the Moed. Torah says, Eilam Moed HaShem HaShem Tikrosa B'moed, you know, Moed Kodeh, or B'moedam, when it finally gets down to the actual Moed. Begins with Shabbos, and then transitions to Korban Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. Is there any significance to the fact that in the order, at least, right, Chag HaMatzos, beginning with Pesach, is the first of the Moedim? Moreover, two other points very quickly. One of the characteristic, maybe the characteristic, you know, dimension of Kiddushas Yom Tov, especially in contrast to that of Shabbos, as we know, is of course Heter Ochel Nefesh. The Gemara says in Megillah, right, Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov, El Ochel Nefesh, Bilvat. And over the years, we've had the opportunity, those who have been here, you know, more than once, to discuss, you know, the symbolic significance, the scope of, the importance of Heter Ochel Nefesh for Yom Tov. Why am I telling you this now? So what sometimes overlooked is the origins of Heter Ochel Nefesh. I mean, how do we know that there's such a called Heter Ochel Nefesh, which defines the entire category of Yom Tov, right, in contrast to Shabbos? How do we know that? The answer is it's a pasuk in Parshas Bo, which we're going to read in a couple of weeks, right, which says, you know, that you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov, on Pesach, right, losasako malacha. And then the next pasuk says, ach, right, asher yachel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. However, whatever you need for Ochel Nefesh, that is permitted. That's the makar of Heter HaKol Nefesh. The Mokar for Heter HaKol Nefesh is in Parshas Bo, not in Parshas Amor, not in Parshas Pinchas, not in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Bo, what am I saying that? Parshas Bo is particularly about the history, the historical Pesach Mitzrayim, and of course it's about particularly Chag HaMatzos, L'doros. It's fascinating that the Torah put that pasuk here, Ad Kedei Kach, that it clearly troubled the Rishonim. Like, how do you know? How do you know there's a Heter HaKol Nefesh on Sukkos and on Shavuos and on Rosh Hashanah? There isn't one on Yom Kippur, right? Obviously. But how do you know that? So the Yireim actually asks this question. I believe the Ramach quotes it also in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov. They say, oh, you know, the assumption is that what's true about the Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzos is true for the others as well. The Ramban, of course, has a different answer to this question, famously. The Ramban, in Parshas Emor, we've spoken about this a lot, noting, right, the use of the term Meleches Avoda, as opposed to Kol Melacha, says that Meleches Avoda, Rashi says Meleches Avoda means below Davar, that you know, below Davar Ha'aved. And then it refers to Chol HaMoed. But the Ramban doesn't like it. Ramban says, no. The phrase Meleches Avoda is to teach you Heter HaKol Nefesh. But he himself says, you wouldn't know that if it weren't for Parshas Bo. If the Torah didn't tell us in Chag HaMatzos, the long hand, namely, you're not allowed to do Melacha on Pesach. However, the Shem Heter HaKol Nefesh, it's permissible. Ach asher yochel HaKol Nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. It says, then in Parshas Emor, the Torah gives you the, you know, the short form by saying Meleches Avoda. So my point is, the Rambam was troubled by this question. The Ramban is implicitly addressing this question. And at the end of the day, the only time in the Torah where it's explicit that there's Heter HaKol Nefesh, and if not for that time, you wouldn't have been able to apply it to the others, it's Chag HaMatzos. Why am I saying this? Meaning, it's not just the first of the Moadim. It is the paradigm case of the Moadim. Let me go a step further. All the Moadim, practically, we speak of the Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. Right? Some of them, you know, like Sukkos, of course, I mean, Tesvav, Tesvav, and it's, in the second rendition of Sukkos and Parshas Emor, you know, you have the whole, idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? As the kind of the tam of Bavur. All this comes, of course, from the story of Pesach. So in some respects, the role of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim everywhere, but especially in the other Moadim, is connected to the paradigm Moed. Right? The Torah tells us about, again, Chag HaMatzos, right? That, you know, there's a din of Lina. Upanisa baboker. The halachta la'ohalecha. meaning you have to stay over an extra night. That din applies to other Yom Tovim, but the Makar, again, is in the first of the Moedim, Chag HaMatzos. There's a discussion in Balei Tosfos and other Rishonim in different places. Are there any nafka mina, or how do you really know that all the dinim of Lina that are anchored in the din of Chag HaMatzos, how do you know that they apply to other Moedim in exactly the same way? What am I trying to say? And of course, Eichel Tzias Mitzrayim in general, as I mentioned. In a way, maybe Chag HaMatzos is not merely the first, but it is also the paradigm Yom Tov. And in a way, you have Shabbos and Chag HaMatzos, right? Zeichel Lamasa Bracious, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. Right? The Gemara says in Arve Psachim that Kiddush of Shabbos requires Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. That's an interesting halacha, an interesting idea. Of course, he has Seres HaDibros, the second one, Vaschanon, mentions Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim in the context of Shabbos. So Parshas HaMoedim goes from Shabbos to Pesach. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, in his Hakdama, when he wants to explain the order, you know, so why is Masechet Pesachim right after Shabbos and Erevin? He says, because in Parshas HaMoedim, but I would say it's not just technicality, right? The holiday of Pesach comes after Shabbos. I would say Shabbos, Zeichel Ma'aseh Bereishis, Pesach, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Paradigm Yom Tov, Heter Ochel Nefesh. These are like a critical, you know, dialectic. Oh, so if there's a din of Aliyah L'Regel and Olas Re'iyah, I wonder, I'm not sure, you know, but Pashtus, the Chagiga, the Re'iyah, the Shalmei Simcha, is that they're all but, you know, they're equal to all the Yom Tovim, or certainly all the Regalim. But I wonder whether in the same way, you know, as the Lina, as the Heter Ochel Nefesh, maybe the fact that the first of the Chagim, the paradigm of the Chagim, maybe there's this like a super Aliyah L'Regel. So, when Korban Pesach, which kind of kicks all of this off, right, in Parsha Samar and so on, when Tosfos tells us that the Pturim of Aliyah L'Regel apply to Korban Pesach, maybe there is a basis. Maybe because Korban Pesach, you know, is perceived not as like there's this generic din of Aliyah L'Regel. Partly that's certainly true. And in addition to the generic din of Aliyah L'Regel, there's also the particularistic Korban Pesach. Right? And Dine Pesach and Dine Chag HaMatzos. Maybe there is a little bit of overlap and some blurred lines, right? Given everything that I've said. Okay. That's point number one. Point number two,
Rabbi,
look more, yeah.
Just as parenthetically, just comment. Could it be possible that the time that we have the Het of Ochel Nefesh is Davka by Pesach, and the only Moed that we have a mitzvah that really involves eating is Pesach? It's the only Yontif that there's a mitzvah Achila of something. And that's
Achilles Korban Pesach.
Achilles Korban Pesach and Achilles Matzah. Well, there's so much eating. And time of the Beis Mikdash, you have Achilles Mara. There was so much eating that that's why you have the Het of Ochel Nefesh to Africa with Pesach.
Interesting. I mean, again,
I'm just saying of all the Yom Tovim that Achila has such a relevance to, it's Pesach.
Right. It's an interesting Hara. Again, Sukkos, of course, has a greater intense expression of Simcha.
Simcha, and also you have Lina that you have to sleep in the Sukkah. It's not really Dafka, the eating in the Sukkah. And if you don't, if you're not going to have a Suda, you have no chiyuv to be in the Sukkah.
Right, except for the first night. That's fine. Right. But right. I'm just, right. I hear it. It's a good point. Interesting point. Again, halacha, it's clear that the Torah Nefesh applies to everything. But, right, I'm just suggesting, and you're kind of reinforcing it in a slightly different way, that it starts with, and there's a particular, more acute even, like expression of it for these different reasons on Pesach. I like it. Okay, very good. That's one. Number two is something to apply, is to look at the individual factors themselves. And a little bit to address the Mishnah Lamelech's question in that way. Meaning, Mishnah Lamelech was wondering, as I said before, like, why is it limited to these manavshach? If there's some hekesh that says, whatever's patur, beri'ya is patur for Korban Pesach, then there should be no exceptions. But maybe it isn't a din in the patur re'iya, you know, like a hekesh, or even what I just said a second ago, which is that there's something about that overlap, you know, which shares. Maybe it's a different sharing overlap, and that is, maybe there is something about some of the Peturim, at least, that is common to Korban Pesach and to Aliyah L'Regel, despite their differences. And let me mention two ideas very quickly. One is that maybe some of the Peturim of Aliyah L'Regel that may apply to Korban Pesach have to do with the fine line between perceiving something as a bittul haaseh as opposed to simply a sheval taaseh. That's abstaining from doing the mitzvah as opposed to negating, you know, or rejecting the mitzvah. Typically, whenever you do something b'sheval taaseh, meaning you abstain from doing it, you withhold from doing it, that always looks like a passive non-action. However, sometimes the circumstances, you know, play a role and temper that in either directions. Meaning, if there's such a strong expectation, even urgency, that you take initiative and do something, then sometimes abstaining from doing it, right, is like almost like a negative action. Again, what I said before, not simply a eina oseh ha-mitzvah, but that's called bittul. And by the same token, there can be circumstances in which the reason that you are passive are such that, you know, the mice, of course, you're not doing the mitzvah, but we don't hold it again. It's almost like, you know, because it's sheval taaseh. Right? So let's say zaken, you know, anybody who can't, you know, go bederech. Right? You could say it's just like a p'tur onus, except that we've expanded. There's a gzeres hakasav that says that when it comes to aliyah l'regel, we expand the criteria of what constitutes onus. Or you don't need onus, you know, on that level for this p'tur. But probably a better way to say it is to say that there's a chiyuv aliyah l'regel and there's an expectation that you'll do it. However, there are circumstances in which not doing it isn't considered bittul, notwithstanding how important that mitzvah is, because it's so difficult that you're being passive. You're not going when it's hard for you to go is not a bittul, you know, bekumvase. Similarly, right, Misha Gar, maybe, you know, b'chutz laaretz, if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael, right, and he's within like the orbit of this mitzvah. Moreover, he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and that implies a certain, we'll expand on this in a minute and get to yours as well, but it implies like a certain orientation, a certain connection with the tzibur and so on, right? For him to abstain, you know, from participating in the Korban Pesach or Aliyah L'Regel is a kind of a kumvasei sheval taseh. It's like a bitul aseh. But if he lives in Chutz Laretz and he's not really in the Parsha, and this is where he is, and he doesn't go, that's a sheval taseh. Meaning that the fact, so it's not that the shalmei, I'm sorry, the olas re'ia peturim, you know, or that the dinim of olas re'ia, or that korban pesach itself overlaps as a kind of expression, you know, aliyah l'regel. Not at all. But for the same reason, the same subtle impact that some of these exemptions have in Olas Re'ia, Huadin, some of them, in Korban Pesach. Not that the dinim are the same, or that, you know, even the exemptions are the same, but for the same reason they are effective in distinguishing between Bitul Aseh and E Kiyum Aseh in Aliyah L'Regel, in some cases, Huadin, Korban Pesach. I think that's a second approach. But I think that there's a third approach as well. This goes to Rabbi Leon Wells said a second ago. He said in a very extreme way, I think, but in an interesting way. So let me say it in a more moderate way, and a little bit based on Maram Shik as well. I thought this before I saw the Maram Shik. Recently, I picked up they put out, I guess, I don't know how long it's been out, but Sefer, kind of like a Sefer Mitzvos, you know, commentary, the Maram Shik, which came to my hands. So I looked at it, I thought it was very fascinating. And so he has the following suggestion, or he quotes from somebody this suggestion. He says, what's it in Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz? What's it got to do with anything? Right? So he says, maybe because of the Gemara in Horios. Gemara in Horios of Gimel Min Aleph, we've talked about a lot in the past, speaks about the Korban Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur, which is, if Bezer HaGadol makes a mistake in Horah, and the result is that most of Klal Yisrael err, because of this incorrect psak. So instead of each individual bringing a separate korban, if it's the majority of Klal Yisrael, a single korban is brought for everyone. That korban is called par helem davar shel tzibur. What's the criteria? And how do you know? What do you mean the majority of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says in Horias and Dav Gimel and Aleph, it depends on the majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Because Kahal Yisrael Shev Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kahal, Kahal Yisrael Shev Chutz Laretz Lo Ikri Kahal. Fascinating, fascinating idea. Meaning, this is an issue that affects world Jewry one way or another. I mean, if the majority, whoever violated based on the incorrect psak of Bez Nagadol, he could be living in Jamaica States or Kew Gardens or Manhattan or Johannesburg or Yerushalayim or Beit Shemesh. I'm not talking about Dinei Eretz Yisrael. And yet the Koveya, what determines as far as whether you bring one korban or multiple korbanos, is whether the majority of the population in Eretz Yisrael have violated. We talked about this a lot. We talked about smicha and other things. Dine Eretz Yisrael. Fine. What's it got to do with here? So the Maram Shikth, I think he's quoting somebody, if I recall, says, maybe that's the pshat. If you're living in Chutz La'aretz, right, maybe there's no obligation of Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur. I'll get to that in just a second. And the idea of the Tzibur, right, Kahal Yisrael, Shebe Eretz Yisrael, Ikri Kahal. Then he goes on to say, that's an interesting idea, but it isn't foolproof because, I mean, all of Kahal Yisrael, wherever they live, are connected to the Korban Tamid and things like that, right? Whether they live in Chutz La'aretz or not. Why should this be any different? Moreover, in the end of the day, it's a Chovas HaGavra, it's a Mitzvah Saseh. But I do think that there's a lot of merit to it. I just want to take it a little bit further. Again, what you were saying before was about Benechar, so I'll get to that in just a minute too. But what I'd like to say is as follows. There's a famous debate in the Rishonim already regarding the bringing of Korban Pesach b'Midbar. Korban Pesach was, of course, brought the first year in Pesach Mitzrayim, the Psukim, the Parshios that we're presently reading in Kriyas HaTorah. That's called Pesach Mitzrayim. And then the year after, it was brought in the Midbar. The question is, was it brought before they were Nichnas La'eretz Yisrael again b'Midbar? Every year b'Midbar? Or only that initial time? And this is a huge debate in Chazal, meaning already in the Medrash Halacha. And then you have Rashi and the Ramban and all the Mefarshim weighing in with evidence back and forth on this issue and on this question. Meaning, is Korban Pesach an Eretz Yisrael type Korban? Dafka. I mean, it has its origins in Egypt. The whole story is about the Exodus. And certainly it was brought the first year in Midbar. Was that just to set the tone, and then after that, it needed only to be brought in Eretz Yisrael? Why? Why would that be? But I think the answer is as follows. We've said it many times. We'll probably say it many more times before we finish. And that is, what's unique about Korban, one of the things that's unique about Korban Pesach is the role that it plays in Klal Yisrael as a tzibur. I always like to quote the fascinating Bechilta and the Sifrei, Bechilta and Bo and the Sifrei in Baal Oscha, right? Which quote a Hava Mina that you might, based on the Pasuk there, that you might think that a Gershon is Gayer any time of the year that he's Misgayer would have to bring a Korban Pesach. Now, the Ger is doing Gerus Hanukkah time or Sukkot time. So there's a Hava Mina, B'chiyogur itcha Ger, right? The Hava Mina was, doesn't matter, he has to bring Korban Pesach. Kamash Malan, no, he doesn't. Of course, as once he is a Ger, next Pesach, I'll bring Korban Pesach. What kind of Havamina is that? The answer is, a Ger needs Mila, and we thought a Ger needed Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach, Mitzvah Seh Sheish Bakares, is the Korban of Emunas Kal Yisrael. It's Ashi Yishkatu Eloheim Le'enayim. Right? That's what the Chinuch says. If you look here, the last entry on page, what is it, six? Is it six? Sefer Chinuch Parshas Bo, mitzvah yidalek. But the chinuch says this all over the place. Mishroshay mitzvah zu mashak asavnu b'acheros liskor yitzias mitzrayim b'avosh akorban zel lezecher cheroseinu uboenu bibris ne'emana im Hashem yizbarach. Ra'ui shelo yehena bo rak osam sheshlimu be'amuna v'heim yisraelim gemurim v'lo elu shadayin lo ba'u bibris shalom imanu. Binin hachak asa'ara mi'akilaso gam kem b'zeh ashar. He says in a number of the mitzvahs. Right? This is what you're referring to a little bit. Right? Leon? So this chinuch is kind of what you're referring to.
Yeah, but I had to read it again because it went too quickly. I couldn't find it. I don't know which
chinuch. Line 14.
If I don't give you something to criticize,
you said
it's no good.
Line 14, page 7.
It's on page 7.
Yes, line 14.
I was looking for it on page 6.
Mishrashe mitzvah zu, Masha kasavnu, right?
Yeah.
Bacheros is something that's it's a repeated theme in the chinuch all over the place. It's a freedom korban. Uboenu, but this is the key part. Bibris nemana. Im Hashem yisbarach. Roi shelo yehena bo rak osam sheshlimu ba'amuna. Eim Yisraelim gemurim. Lo elu shadayin lo bo bibris shalom imanu. The din of Benechar and Arel are because the Korban Pesach is a Korban of Amuna. Okay? So that explains the Havamina in the Medrash Halacha, which is that if you become a ger, there's an analog, there's a tzibur analog to the Mitzvah Seishesh Bakares of Bris Mila Shel Yachid. That's Korban Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Korban Pesach is so fascinating because, again, this is, you know, something you could just, it's connected to so many things. There's conflicting evidence. Is Korban Pesach a Korban Yachid or a Korban Tzibur? Right? The answer is it's both and neither. It's brought b'kenufia. Everybody brings it at the same time. And its unit is b'chabura. Minui. Right? The original unit was a family unit. And sometimes the Gemara applies the dinim of Korban Tzibur to it, and sometimes not. Anyways. What does this have to do with anything? So, if this is the collective equivalent of the individual's bris, it has a special bond and connection with Eretz Yisrael. Because as we know, Eretz Yisrael is the national headquarters of the Jewish people. Certain dinim that have to do with the collectivity of Klal Yisrael are limited to Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, why would anybody think Korban Pesach should be limited to Eretz Yisrael? It was born of Pesach Mitzrayim, and it even took place the first year, the first, you know, opportunity, Bamidbar. The answer is, that's when Klal Yisrael was born, through that experience, and there needed to be an outlet that first year to establish it, not just the Ochos HaBasar B'Lai Lazeh, but as the Korban Emuna L'Dorei Doros, Zos Chukas HaPesach. But maybe after that, it's better held back for Eretz Yisrael. Because it really is about being a member of Klal Yisrael and the Korban Emuna on a collective level that it is. Oh, so the idea that maybe, in addition to Derech Krova and Derech Rechoka, and being close to Yerushalayim and the Azara, maybe even that din is connected to all of this. You have to be, till now we've been looking at it, you know, through the lens of the Minchas Chinuch. Don't get me wrong, that's a great lens. Minchas Chinuch saying, Atu, this is less than Sukkah and Shofar. And any other mitzvahs, I'd say, which you should make the utmost effort as a Chavos HaGavra to make sure that you are in position to perform the mitzvah. All of a sudden, you have Korban Pesach. I'm adding. A mitzvah says Sheyesh Bakares. And unless you're in the vicinity, nothing happens. However, what I would add is, the vicinity is important because the vicinity is the Azara. And it's the Yerushalayim. And according to Tosis, in addition to that, it's Eretz Yisrael. All three of which, we've spoken about this in the past too, each in their own way represents a different aspect of the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. So, instead of thinking about it as we're more mekel on Korban Pesach than we are on Lulav and Shofar, the real way to look at it is Korban Pesach requires the mentality and the orientation of being part of the Tzibur. Once you're there, you know, then you have that extra collective as a member of the collective, right? And being Bederach Rechoka, but first you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Then it's a Mitzvah Sheish Bakares. It's more harsh if you are Mevatel for the same reason that it's more difficult to trigger and impose it. It has very high standards. Okay.
Maybe you could also suggest that if it's a Korban Emunah and your discussion about a Ger, when it comes to Gerus, we don't encourage a Ger proactively to become a member of Klal Yisrael. He has to take the initiative. So maybe that could be the difference between Shofar and Sukkah.
Interesting, also an interesting idea. I mean, like Ger Kosher Kesapachas, that idea.
Well, we don't push a Ger to become a Jew, you know.
Yeah, Kosher Kesapachas, we say. You know, you try to discourage him to make sure that he knows what he's getting into, right, that he has the metal for it. Metal with a T. And I like it. Interesting point. But let me get back to one other point, since I have to stop here. I thought, well, just keep these marmokobos. Next week, we'll continue with Bidikas Chametz on Dalet and Medalet. But first, I want to speak about the other Minchas Chinuch. So let me just tell you very, very quickly, because this is connected to what your idea about Kol B'Nechar. The other problem in the sugya is the problem of, did he deserve the death penalty, the Sarma? So the Minchas Chinuch, the other Minchas Chinuch, which we'll discuss next week, we'll start with that, tries to figure out, like, where's the death penalty coming from? And Kol B'Nechar LeYochabo, there's a major machlokas harishonim, the Rambam and the Chinuch, with the opinion that the Iser devolves upon the machil, the person who's feeding, I mean, the Yisrael, who gives it to a B'Nechar, to a non-Jew or a Meshumad, he violates Kol B'Nechar LeYochabo. Whereas the Smag understands that the Ochel is the violator, meaning the B'Nechar. So the Minchas Chinuch wonders, maybe you could, according to the Smag, maybe you could say it's like Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? As, you know, Azaraso Zui Misaso. But then he wonders how come it isn't mentioned in a list of Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So he has a whole deal, and I want to discuss that next week. Very interesting. But what I would like to suggest, along the lines of what you suggested before, is that the din of Kol B'necher LeYochabo and Orel, what this Nachri did wasn't just technically, you know, illegal for him to do. What he did was he made a mockery of the Korban Pesach. Meaning, it's not to, although the Korban Pesach is the special Korban of Klal Yisrael. No one else has a right to it. More than that, he made a mockery of it. He took Korban Pesach and he dragged it through the mud. The whole idea of Korban Pesach is this special relationship, and a relationship which is based on emuna. Ad sheyishkdu Eloheim leineihem. That's why, based on this chinuch that we just read, this idea of korban emuna, right? It's that, just reading the psukim in the Torah themselves. Not this week's parsha, next week's parsha. Look, so I guess we can discuss it next week. It'll be more relevant, right? Zos chukas ha-pesach, kol b'necher lo yochabo. First of all, it's very shocking. You know, you're in the middle of the Pesach Mitzrayim and the details and the story. All of a sudden you have this little section in Parshas Bo that's dedicated to the halachos, the doros. Now, it can't wait. And you hear the drum beat. Zos chuka satora. What's it going to be? I'm sorry, Zos chukas ha-pesach. The other one is Zos chukas ha-torah, Parshas chukas. Right? So of all the things, Kol b'necher leyochabo, I always like to say, negative campaigning and dafka this halacha. The answer is yes. You have to understand that what was seminal about that moment and transforming was this Korban Emuna, was Klal Yisrael's assertion, you know, of a new identity, no matter what the cost. You know, and for shining moment, again, didn't last so long, but for that shining moment, total devotion to the Rabban Shalom. And that's what it means. Kol b'necher leyochabo. This is what differentiates Klal Yisrael and Emuna from a Meshumad, even a Yisrael Meshumad. Because in a way, he's even worse. He's the antithesis. But also, it's the point of differentiating from the rest of the world. So it's Kol b'necher leyochabo. So when this Arma, you know, boasted about, he knew it. He said, Kol b'necher leyochabo, kol orel leyochabo. It wasn't just offensive. And it wasn't just that he violated, you know, an Isser, probably. It was more than that. He attacked Korban Pesach at its root, at its core. And therefore, I don't know if it's a Rasha or whether it's more than that. Or maybe that's why, even if it isn't one of the Shemits of Bnei Noach, for reasons that Minchas Chinuch discusses, and that I want to elaborate and give a different explanation of. Nonetheless, maybe implicitly, it's clear that Zos Chukas HaPesach Kol B'necher LeYochabo is Chayiv Misa. Because it really goes to the core of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, of Emuna. Okay, so we'll stop here. And I want to pick up at this point next time, but mostly next time we move on to back to the more, I guess, typical part of First Parak HaPesachim, which is Bedika and Beitel and those dinim.